Is that the train I hear? Could it be drawing near? Could it be the Heaven Express? If the Lord came today, could you say I'm ready for the Heaven Express?
If I should die tomorrow,
or you, my Christian friend, someday we'll be together forever and ever. Amen. You know, I was thinking, honey, you know, Scripture tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. So there it is again. All aboard, they call. Jesus paid it all. He's the ticket for the Heaven Express.
And you are blessed on the Heaven Express.
I know we are.
Yes, we are blessed on the Heaven Express.
Hello, Christians. Stand by for the Heaven Express program.
And a very special Heaven program at that.
If you haven't heard the news by now, dear listeners, let me fill you in. Dad was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease a couple weeks ago. As a result of his obvious failing health and the medical revelation, all of us here at WWGH 107.1 have rallied together with our Lord to do one more special program honoring our King with this program format. We have a very few dear guests with us here this evening that have been with us a lot over the last 3 years, and they've graciously agreed to help us out. Pastor Tim Pasma of the Labor Baptist Church is our first guest this evening. Pastor, thank you for being with us this evening.
Good to be here, Brian.
For years, our evening meals, along family trip events, were filled with stories of your journey that you and your dad traveled over the years.
That was a journey that Pastor Tim and I have taken over the years.
So how did you and he meet?
Well, back in 1985, I was living in Winona Lake, Indiana, and had the opportunity of preaching at LaRue Baptist Church, and they graciously called me to be their pastor. And so I first met Paul when I came to preach, and then, of course, he drove all the way to Indiana with that old blue van of his.
Well, no, then.
What? There was no Ben?
It wasn't.
It looked old to me.
This is, folks, a Becca Pasma moment. You see, Becca is Tim's wife. Now, Becca would say it looked practical.
Practical.
Well, it got the job done. It moved us. Yeah.
We did a lot of moving that day.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I had that was a well remembered, a well loved trip by our family. What a joy it is, folks, to have you go bring your pastor to your church, and have him stay there for how many years?
33 years now. 33. Yep.
Glenn and I no longer belong to Labor Baptist, but we belong to a daughter church in Marion, Ohio, called New City Fellowship. And Pastor Tim, this young pastor here, sitting beside us, between the work that the Lord did on his heart and the work that you did on his head and heart. You qualified and God qualified him to start another church.
Yeah.
A branch of labor back.
Yeah.
And Ben and I folks hoping to keep this young pastor out of trouble went with him. Well, he kept me out of trouble. it's wonderful to have you, you all with us tonight. I want you to go back to that moment in time. Say that was 75?
1985. Yeah.
You had a small family, too.
Oh, very small then. We had three boys, all of them. Let's see, Calvin, the oldest, would have been...
what was that one? Was he born?
Yeah, and Yance was brand new. Calvin, Levi, and Yance. Brand new boys. Calvin was probably about three. And then Levi and Yance. Yance was... When we moved to LaRue, Yance was 3 months old. Yep. Since then, had three girls, three boys, three girls. Annie, Lydia, and Emma followed. So we raised six children in LaRue.
Well, you know, I thought when we picked her up and saw this beautiful little baby with hair on his chin. Oh, he didn't have hair on his chin. I forgot.
And a diaper with suspenders
right
on.
That's right.
Yeah, I was it. With a diaper and suspenders.
Mm-hmm.
I thought to myself.
Just like his dad.
Man. You know, I thought to myself, this family's full. I guess we got no children, women, children from our pastor at this church. Tell everybody. You did have some girls.
Yeah, we did. Had the three girls then. And so we had quite a full family growing up in LaRue.
Did you ever imagine staying there that long?
I don't know. I always thought that if I go to minister in a place, I'm going to stay there for the long term. I never thought it was right for pastors just to stay in a place for 4 or 5 years and then move on. I figured we'd stay there for a long time, but I didn't know that we'd be staying there for probably till the day I die, I hope.
Did that transmission go pretty smoothly?
Yeah. Yeah, coming into LaRue, the former pastor, Kim Kaufman, had gone to plant a church in Indianapolis, and I thought it went real smooth. I think the church was really great. The probably the only bumps in the road were because of the young pastor who'd arrived, who thought he knew a lot and found out he didn't know anything.
Well, the population of Labor Baptist wasn't extreme at that point to begin with.
No.
You remember what we used to have on a Wednesday night prayer service?
Oh, on Wednesday night we'd have maybe 10 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and my first year there, the congregation went down from a little over 100 to about 70. Just because different people were moving and things were happening. So that was quite a first year.
And you had what turned out to be a local phone guy joined the church.
Named Paul Savage.
That would be.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you enough how I thank the Lord every day. We all do. Our children, my wonderful wife. Thank the Lord every day for God bringing us to Labor Baptist.
Hmm.
Certainly we didn't know. Quite frankly, if we had known God's plan beforehand, I suggest I'm about to make an error, because if we knew God's plan, we'd know what to do. But if it had been up to us, we might have thought twice. But what a wonderful friendship that turned out to be.
Yeah.
just for you and I.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've been through a lot of things together, you and I.
Well, that's going to do a song for us now. A segment of our program we call The Heart of the Composer. That was beautiful, dear. Absolutely gorgeous. Thank you so much.
Jonathan the Deacon.
Jonathan.
Jonathan the Deacon. That would be Paul Savage. He's Jonathan to my David, I would tell him.
That's the term that you use.
Yeah. Because you were the guy who would come alongside me and say, Tim, I think that's a dumb idea. Or, Tim, I think that would be good. Or, Tim, let me encourage you with this.
Or, Tim, we want you to take a vacation.
Yes.
Or
Yes.
And he meant that in the nicest way possible.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Tim, are you spending time with your family?
Yes.
I'm sure he's saying that to you now.
Do you know what I got last week from Paul?
What's that?
I came in to see him last week, and he asked me what I was going to do over the next couple of days. I said, well, I'm going to go hunting with Andy Green. And he said, oh, does your wife get a break too?
Well, of course, yeah. The answer is coming.
What's that?
Does your wife get a break too?
Yeah.
Oh, you did tell me that. You said that was absolutely true.
So he's staying true to form at our church, too.
Good.
Yeah.
He's your Jonathan now, Pastor Josh.
Well, very good. I'm thankful.
Yeah.
I thought those were a precious statement to me. You had quite a few elders and deacons at Labor Baptist Church. Sometimes you have more than you can handle. Sometimes you don't have any.
Yeah.
Almost that way now.
Well, yeah, because of our church plant, New City Fellowship, which is, you know, an independent congregation now. They're their own folks. We lost a few elders because of that, and we still have some deacons, but yeah, we had a good group of guys who were serving together. Paul was one of them. He was in our book. Okay, if you look up the word deacon, you will find the picture of Paul Savage, who to us was the quintessential deacon,
a servant
to the greatest degree.
Well, is it Timothy or Peter who says that one first of all must want the job?
Yeah.
And then you want to be qualified. And I have always considered that a gift from God. I didn't ask to be a deacon, but I love serving, serving other people. Mm-hmm. My brother John, my older brother John, who just had surgery yesterday. Hope you're doing well, John. Don't play any football for a couple of days. He's an elder too. And one of the things that you see, I certainly haven't seen it, but one of the things that I see in the churches where the older people drop out and move on for whatever reason, they go to live with a child or in the nursing home. One of the things that I see happening is church family, they sort of fade out of church family life. That's a real heartbreaker. And that also reflects, if you will, if that's happening to the deacon / elder, it's happening to the people too. And I'm proud to say that I have never, ever imagined the kindness and support, at least in this stage of my illness, that I've seen. I know for a fact that in most cases, and sometimes people slip through the cracks, but I know in most cases at Labor Baptist, most of the faithful over there, that is listeners, people who regularly attend, and the fellowship of other believers at Labor Baptist will find the family close. Brian, you and I were talking a little earlier about and separation today from the older members of the church to the young. Do you remember that conversation?
Refresh my memory.
Jody, I'm a little closer over here. This is my daughter-in-law, Jody.
Hi.
My wife's still over here. Say hi, dear.
Hello, dear.
We were talking about texting. Texting.
Mm-hmm.
And messaging.
Mm-hmm.
Facebooking. Well, now older means, but tech, high tech means of talking with other people. Remember, Jenny, you and Brian and I were talking about it's so difficult for the older people in the church to understand why. Nobody wants to talk anymore.
Yeah.
I remember. And what our listeners can't read your mind. Tell them what we come up to conclusion. What's the conclusion to that thought?
Well, it's certainly more prevalent in the younger generation. Jody and I fall somewhere in the middle. Less meaningful conversation, less casual conversation.
I've noticed that Pastor Josh over here watches up pretty carefully for those who don't text or those who don't have the skill. He jumps right in there. Now, you're pretty good, Pastor Tim. Do you text?
Yeah, I text, sure.
Okay.
So
I'm not pushing it, but do you Facebook?
I put some things on Facebook about 3 times a year.
whenever he goes to Romania.
That's right.
He writes love letters to his wife and posts them on Facebook
because
he misses her so bad.
Aww.
Yeah.
And these two pastors, you both just came back from Romania.
That's right. We were both in Romania together. Yeah.
And you were grateful to our Lord who let you come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's some other things I'd like to move on and talk about. Josh, we've asked you to be with us today. I can't think of another reason than the fact that you're our pastor and a good pastor. And a young man I knew growing up, I couldn't appreciate you more.
On me being your pastor, I don't know if you remember when the Sunday school classes met in the old parsonage. Do you remember the parsonage beside LaRue Baptist?
The house.
And some of the Sunday school classes met in that house.
A dear lady from LaRue gave that house.
There was a time when our Sunday school class, you were teaching the grade older than the class I was in, but the class I was in was past you. We had to walk through your classroom to get to ours, and I remember I was being rather rambunctious in Sunday school, as I typically was. I did not make any Sunday school teachers or junior choir directors' life easy. As a young person, as a child, I was.
You just had to keep your candy away from me.
Well, I don't know what it was, but I remember though. I was probably 10 or 11 years old, and I was leaving Sunday school, having had just a wonderful time with my friends, and I'm pretty sure I left my Sunday school teacher in tears behind me. But you stopped me and rebuked me soundly. And I will never forget that. You got my attention. And Paul, I think of that often now that I'm your pastor. And I just want you to know that God used you to help me become who I am today. It amazes me that I'm your pastor, by in God's timing and by His grace.
I love children. I always have. I never wanted to get old. But guess what happened one day? You're walking down the hallway, and someone puts a mirror right in the middle of the hallway. And suddenly you realize, well, just a couple of weeks ago, I was young. What happened?
Yeah. Just a couple of weeks ago, Josh here was... I tell folks, he was burning things down and blowing things up with my boy.
What? In retrospect, there's a couple, two or three things people would, and in fact, listeners, if I have to talk about myself, I want to ask these questions and see if my guests here today can answer them. That's how well they know this old deacon. All right. Who volunteers? Raise your hand if you volunteer to answer this question.
Could you ask the question first?
I wasn't going to, but I will. What is Paul Savage's favorite song? Jody?
Be Thou My Vision.
Be Thou My Vision.
Oh, I knew that.
What page number?
178. In the old book.
In the old book, yeah.
That's right, in the old book, 178.
Folks,
right.
If you don't know that number, God put that song on my heart when I was a young man, and He's been so faithful. Many things we talk about, you know, Gwen and I talk about, and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ share with, is the faithfulness of God. And on our program, who can answer this? What did we call that on our program? Anybody remember?
Talking about God moments?
God moments. Yeah. We refer to them as God moments. What I want to do is write a small autobiography about God moments in this old man's life. I may have to be a volume of theological discussion since God's intervened so many times in my life. But, folks, I want you to think about that. And if you can bear staying with us through the program, here is a man that you're looking at. I tell everyone I know, what do you say to a God who has answered every prayer you ever had? Recognizably so. And I even the fact that that we have our own radio program here, or have had it for over 3 years, reflects that when I was a young man coming out of high school, I had decided that I'd like to go in the radio business. But then I discovered, how can you raise a family on what these people are making? And so I decided that wasn't for me. I couldn't raise a family. And God also put on this old sinner's heart that my priority in my life were, number one, to serve Him. Number two, to be a father. Even more importantly, a good husband. And then somewhere the other one just fell into place. One of those I recall wanting to be, I'm going to radio and do that kind of stuff. But I asked God, and you all know this, what is something else that Paul Savage is known for? Again, I'm getting back to the sovereignty of God here. But what else is something that Paul Savage is known for? Some that he quotes a great deal.
Would this be Charles Spurgeon?
It could be Charles Spurgeon. Yeah. I think I shared with you, Pastor Tim, the other day, that one of my nurses was here a couple days ago, and she said, a couple weeks ago, maybe. She said, Paul, you really love the Lord, don't you? I said, I do. And you like reading your Bible? I said, yes. I just like to pick the Bible up anywhere and just start reading. You can always, that scripture you couldn't remember, you'll stumble across it when you do it that way. And I said to, she said, have you ever heard of Charles Spurgeon? Back to you, Pastor Hoss. You saw those things out of a deacon. Or give us, listeners here on the Heaven Express, that God was listening to you. Do you remember that? The realization that God really is sovereign. And I'm going to ask you that same question.
When I recognized when God was really sovereign.
Yeah. In your life, to your own life, you know.
Okay, so you mean not just from the Bible and studying God's word, but how I understood Him being at work in my life, providentially guiding my life in ways that were good. And
my guess,
yeah,
my guess is one doesn't come necessarily before the other. Mm-hmm. My guess is that'll happen both ways.
The first time I remember understanding that God was sovereign, I didn't know that word, but the first time I understood that he was God.
How many people today know that word?
Yeah, that he's the ruler, that his way goes, his will is done. I was 7 years old. I remember I was 7 years old, and I was on my way home from church. And I remember the thought, not just crossing my mind, but landing on me, that if God is who I was understanding him to be, then I owed him, like, it wasn't just that I owed him everything, but everything was his. That I didn't have say-so over my own life. And I understood that in a way that a seven-year-old could. That God is more powerful than mom and dad. That God is, he deserves all of our praise. When I was seven, I remember that thought becoming a part of my, the way I understood life. Of course, I think as I've grown, that lesson has become deeper and more specific.
Would you say then that was about that age, 7 years old, as a child, that transformed then from understanding you get what you get from your father to where you're at now?
I can trace God's working in my life from then until now, certainly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a wonderful way to see his providence. There were times when I lived in rebellion. I lived with a lukewarm heart toward him. I lived disinterested or more interested in other things, but he always kept his grip on me. And that's a way I see his sovereign grace in my life.
Now you're the father. Now you have to keep your warm grip on your kids.
Mm-hmm.
How about you,
as
Pastor?
Best I can.
How about you, Pastor? You want to address that question?
Yeah, I think I'm a much slower learner than Josh. I remember reading in John chapter 6 when I was a freshman in college, sitting at my desk, reading John 6, debating in my head, is God sovereign in the sense of, is he the one who's planning everything and executing a plan? And I had heard it and I wasn't believing it. And I can remember sitting at my desk reading in John chapter 6 where Jesus says, "No one comes to me unless the Father draws him." And that just, at that moment, I could not argue with it. I could not say, well, except for... And so at that moment, I probably was 18 or 19. That was when the full realization that God is the ruler hit home. Now, I'd grown up in a Christian home, like Josh, and my dad was a pastor, but I had never thought of it in those terms. From that point on, as I learned more, as I read more of the Bible, and I could see that everything that happened in my life was happening the way God wanted it to, and I can see how he had laid out certain things. And I can see that I'm where I am because of what he's done. For example, coming to LaRue, I always tell this story. Here's the providence of God. A friend of ours who lived in Marion, who was my wife's friend from college, who was married to my roommate my freshman year in college, was living in Marion watching the commercial about dual herbicide that was filmed in Creston, Iowa, my wife's hometown, which made her think of Becca, who was married to me, and I was looking for a church, and she was working as a teacher with one of the deacons from the LaRue Baptist Church, Dale, and she told Dale, I think there's a guy that you might be interested in who would maybe could be your pastor. Why don't you call him? Dale called me. And I came to LaRue and preached, and the rest is history, as they say. Or we should say, the rest is the outworking of God's providence. That stands out in my mind. Another thing that stands out in my mind is the fact that
A year into being a pastor, I realized I didn't have any clue how to be a pastor. I didn't know how to shepherd people's hearts. And a friend of mine had said something about a counseling class that he took and sent me information. And I said, well, what's there to lose? I got to figure something out. And I went, and that class, by God's providence, transformed the way I looked at people, the way I looked at ministry. It set the course for the rest of my ministry for the next 32 years.
It unlocked his study. People could actually get in after that.
Yeah. Became less of a lecturer and more of a shepherd. And if it hadn't been for that, I don't know where I'd be. I can see God's sovereignty in my children's lives and my wife's life. I can see God's sovereignty in giving me the wife I have. She is the person I needed, right?
And God has, through all those events in your life, shaped you.
Yes.
Molded you.
Yeah.
Made you, and me too, and Josh, Brian, and Jody, and my dear wife, Lena. He has produced a product that gives character to God's own name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Yeah.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, not our will be done. And yet, like you both have stated very clearly, I love to look back and consider that if God hadn't have done those things first, where would I be today?
Well, and Paul, let's think about this. Just the realization that our Father in heaven is a sovereign King, and therefore everything in our lives are from His loving hand and are planned for us. Just the realization of that truth gives us hope in the midst of difficulties. And because I can say, God is orienting, God is organizing this for my good. And so here we are, we're sitting here and we're talking to you, and you are Lou Gehrig's disease, and yet you're not a man who's losing hope. You're not a man who is angry now. You're not a man who is giving up. You're saying, well, this is what God has for me. Praise the name of the Lord. I mean, the realization of that truth has extraordinarily practical consequences. It shapes us, it forms us, just as you were talking about. God's providence has formed you so that, you know.
What hope there is in that. Pastor Tim, Pastor Josh, I'm going to have his pastor pick up John chapter 1, if you will. He's got this little tiny Bible. Now, I couldn't read it with my microscope, but God has preserved your vision incredibly. I want you to look at John chapter 1.
Yeah.
Go to verse 66 and read that for us.
Well,
you may have to back up a couple of verses.
There's 51 verses in John chapter 1, right?
Are you thinking? John chapter 6.
John chapter 6, okay.
I did say 1. John chapter 6.
All right.
Verse.
Okay. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. So there it is, right? Where else are we going to go? Where else are we going to go?
And where did it all begin?
Well, it began because he chose them.
There we go.
He chose them.
It all began because he chose us. Actually, it all began by his purpose, and what people don't realize, and what I realized early by him choosing me, I realized I'm a blessed man. I will tell you this. Maybe I'll be able to prove this to you soon enough, but maybe with my last dying breath, I can prove to you that my hope is in the Lord. I guess I'm not going to do much to save anybody. Salvation isn't found in Paul Savage.
That's right.
In fact, there's not a good man found in Paul Savage. Because when we're born, gentlemen, you preach it all the time. We're filthy rags in Isaiah. We tell us that. And without the fall, would we even need God at all? Well, without the fall, we may not be sinners, but we always need God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And without God, today, we have fallen. Everyone has fallen. And gentlemen, I want to thank you with all my heart, my wife and I. Pastor Tim married Glenna and I after, many of you remember, my wife Carol died of cancer over a decade ago. And Pastor Tim married us. Another God thing. Hmm. Another thing where God... Why would God bless one man so much? I have two wonderful boys. We do, Glenn and I. A great stepmother. And wonderful stepdaughter. And two daughters. And I just can never understand why God would bless one man so much. And then he brings on two goofy pastors.
Well, one of us is goofy, and it's not me.
Oh, yeah. I own it.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us today. Was there anything you wanted to close in?
Well, I just, brother, it's not just with your last breath, but I know that myself, my family, our whole church, as they see how you and your wife are going through these hard days, these deep waters, these fiery trial, with your eyes on Christ, and it's encouraging us. What I hear consistently from the folks from our church who come to visit you to serve you is that they leave amazed that they came to serve you, but they feel like they've been served. They've been blessed. And I want to encourage you, brother, because God continues to bless you. And I can give you a partial reason for why he blesses one man so much. He blesses so that you'll be a blessing to his name. And I'm grateful that he's made you into a polished mirror that shines his glory back out into the world.
And thank you, listeners. You're always a blessing to us. And, Tim, did you have anything else?
Well, just want to echo, Josh. Just your life has been one of service and Christ-likeness, and I'm thankful for your ministry.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I consider what an honor and privilege to have been able to fight the fight and fight the enemy and continue. But it's not over till it's over. So to continue to keep me in prayer.
We will.
Again, you radio audience, we thank you for the 3 years we've had together. Pray that God will bless you like we're always asking. Continue to support your churches. Get into church. Love your families. And you want to find happiness? My guess is you'll never find more than you would right there in your local church family and in the presence of God. Take care now.
May you have God's blessing on your way.
May you have God's blessing every day.
the word of God blaze your trail. May our Lord, your keeper, keep you very well. May you have God's blessing on your way.
May you have God's blessing every day. Praise be to the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. In our lives, might your will be done.
God bless. Good night.